ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय, शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः, आगमापायिनो नित्याः, तितिक्षस्व भारत।
Somebody can read the translation.
O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from self-perception, O son of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed.
Yam hi na vyathayan tyete, purusham purusharshabha, samadukka sukham dhiram, सौवृतत्वाय कल्पते।
Translation.
O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation.
Om Jnana Chandrana Chakshuruhun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयं भक्तदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापरकमलम् श्रीगुरोर्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् सहजातम् सहगणारघुनाथापितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् पर्यदास्थगितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदा सहगणारहिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे माच्छाकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यरेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे,
हरे राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे। हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू आर प्रेजेंट फॉर द प्रीवियस लेक्चर? प्लीज पुट योर हैंड्स। ओके, यू कैन रिकलेक्ट अ फ्यू पॉइंट्स सब्सटेंस मेबी 2-3 मिनट्स बिफोर यू प्रोसीड टू द नेक्स्ट टॉपिक। व्हाट डिड यू डिस्कस लास्ट टाइम? एसेंस ऑफ इट।
गुरु
नो आफ्टर दैट वी हैव देखे नी का देखे कौमार समथिंग इन अ सेंस जस्ट मेन टॉपिक्स वॉट यू डिस्कस लास्ट टाइम सो दैट पीपल कैन रिकैप एन वी रिमेंबर मत एनी ऑफ यू रिमेंबर दोस्तों गेम लास्ट टाइम
The body goes up from childhood to
childhood, from childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youth. The body changes, but the soul remains the same. The body is like a vehicle for the soul. Yes. And then, what is it? Anything else?
Ananda was there at the end. And then he points. Anybody else? Something from the previous class? Because many of the devotees present here were in present last time. So we can. Just hold me a moment. Sorry, near the point. We were discussing about the thinking, feeling, willing and intentionality come from the soul. The body is actually dead matter. Body is just like a vehicle. Just like a car cannot do anything without a driver. Driver only moves the car. Simply the soul moves the body. Anything else? Anybody else remember? It's too long a time to remember, isn't it? Too long a gap to remember. Yeah? Anybody remember some story I said elaborately? Whose story I said? Very elaborate. Story of a king. Very good. One girl remembered her previous life, isn't it? So what did I conclude from that past life memory event? What was your conclusion? What did you understand from that? Reincarnation is true. And it is even by empirical analysis you can understand that reincarnation exists. What to speak of accepting the authority of the like Bhagavad Gita. Even empirically, if we conduct researches, we can understand that there is reincarnation. People are dying and reborn in another body. They go on taking bodies like that, one after another. Then another story. This was a modern story, recent time. I told one story from the past.
The king who didn't get the child, and then he prayed and then he got the child. His name was kept Harsha.
What did the child teach? What philosophy taught the parents?
It's a journey.
Life is like a journey, yeah. Yes. So you were telling that the soul keeps on taking bodies one after another. He leaves one body, human body, he may take animal body. Or again he may take a human body, or he may take a tree's body, and he may take a demigod's body like that. We keep changing bodies one after another. That was one point he was saying. And every lifetime you have a mother and father. So which mother and father was very difficult to get his head,
Which mother and father was prepared of getting
a... Yeah, he was asking which mother and father are you talking about? I have had so many mothers and fathers. So the essence of the story was that he explained about the transmigration, that the soul moves from one body to another. And in every species we keep suffering, different kinds of suffering. And then finally in one lifetime we come across devotees of God, from whom we learn about this whole cycle, and then one can go back to God. Anyway, most of it we recollected today. So here today, Krishna is telling Arjuna here, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and the disappearance in jippos, or like appearances in winter and summer seasons, that is from sense perception or sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So here Matra Sparsha, sense perception, he said. Let us learn a new term today called sense gratification. You heard this term, sense gratification. Sense gratification means to try to enjoy the senses. Last week also I was telling you where the soul comes from. Anybody knows? Where does the soul come from? Yes? Anybody remember? From the spiritual world. So, scripture clearly explains that there is a spiritual world and what we live now is material world. Soul has come from the spiritual world to the material world. In want of what? Why did the soul come here? Somebody else can say? What does he want to do exactly? Yes. Soul wants to enjoy the effect from God. So sense gratification, the definition is very simple. When enjoyment is done for one's own self, it is called as sense gratification. Atendriya priti vansa dhare bali kam. Krishnendriya priti cha dhare premanam, it is said. When we gratify our senses for our own sake, then it is called as indriya priti or sense gratification. When we do it for the Lord, then it is called as service to Lord. So this is the main theme Krishna is talking about here, mantra sparsha. A few minutes ago, Anand was driving me here. Anand was bringing me here. So he was using his car for bringing Muradangam and the night system and some devotees bringing here. So In this way, this is called a Jitta Vairagya, using one's own facilities in the service of the Lord. By bringing us here, he's helping us talk about God, bringing a system which can amplify the message about God, isn't it? So this is God's service. Now somebody made this microphone, isn't it? Some scientist must have invented this microphone. So when he made it, he must have never thought that Radha Shyam is going to use in future to speak about God. So let him use it. With that intention, he never made it. But he just made this. But a devotee of God can understand that this is made up of energy, which is God's energy. When you talk of nature, everything comes from nature. Whose nature? This question can be asked, is it not? When you say nature, like you can say Deepak's nature is to be very friendly. When you say nature, it has to be somebody's nature. It's not that nature is impersonal and existing by itself. Even based on physics and chemistry, we can prove mathematically that this universe has been created at the point of time. That's the carbon-nitrogen cycle calculation which shows that the universe was created at the point of time. So the universe has emerged from God, and thus it is God's nature. So everything belongs to God, Krishna. Everything belongs to Him. Everything is His energy. So the microphone is also His energy. And it should be used for what purpose? For glorifying God should be used. Somebody may say, no, microphone was invented by a scientist. Why do you attribute it to God? But even the scientist's hands and legs, and even his brain substance with which he invented it, also is God's energy. So, Krishna's energy is categorized as Bhumi Rapu Analo Vayu Kam Manaha Buddhi Rahankara Iti Ame Dinna Ame Prakrutra Shada. Krishna says, he is saying, Bhumi Rapu Analo Vayu Kam, all of you know this five, Panchadhatu, Earth, Water, Fire, Air, Ether. It's all made up of that only. And then Manaha Buddhi Ahankar, he says. Mind, intelligence, and Ahankar Pasiva. All these are my own energies, Krishna says. Everything in this world is made up of these things only. So everything belongs to God and should be utilized in God's service. But now, if someone does not know this fact or is not interested to know about this fact and simply wants to enjoy using these things for his own senses, then it is called as matra sparsha, sense gratification. So everyone in this world is trying to gratify the senses to the fullest ability. Material pleasure is the goal of life of everyone in this world. Everyone wants happiness. So we can see Lord Krishna says here, just like the Ritu, you know Ritu, seasons, they come, they stay for a while and go away. They don't actually obey you or me. Seasons come and go by God's order, arrangement, isn't it? Like now, for example, Pune is very cold now. Especially in the mornings, it is pinching cold. In the mornings, you just can't help it. So we have to tolerate the cold. Similarly, after some time, in May and June, what will come? Summer season. In Pune, when there is cutting cold, people say, oh, when will this cold go away? How nice it will be if summer comes. When summer comes, what do people say? Oh, summer is so hot. When will it rain? And then June, July? We have rain. Yeah, when will the rain go? You can't go to offices, you just can't go out anywhere. Right, these things are not under our control. They are all under God's control. So, agama, apayino, anityaha is it. They come, they stay for a while, and they go away afterwards. And they come and give us enough trouble, whatever trouble is required. So the pleasures and pains of this world, they come and they stay for a while and they go. Now, matra sparsha, sense gratification, is the goal of everyone in this world. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita later, asha bhasha shatair baddha kama krodha parayana. Parayana means worshipper. He says, asha bhasha shatair baddha. Not many people, almost everyone in this world, they all are having so many multiple desires in their heart. Asha, pasha. Pasha means rope. Shatair, baddha. They are bound by the ropes of varieties of desires. Kama, krodha, parayana. They worship what? Kama and krodha, he is saying. They are worshipping lust and anger. That is, they are actually worshipable deity. So in this way, everyone is trying to satisfy the material demands that are made from the mind. Everyone in this world. What's wrong with that? Some people even ask, what is the need of spiritual life? Why not just go on enjoying the world? In fact, many people have the slogan, eat, drink and be merry. Why not enjoy life? What is the need of spiritual life? So that is the reason, here Krishna tells us, that material pleasure, the nature of it is such that one cannot experience that for a prolonged period of time. There are many things explained in the scriptures about material pleasure. First of all, material pleasure is very difficult to achieve. It's not very easy. And all of you here, just think for a moment, how many desires you have in your mind, if I give you a paper and pen to write, isn't it? You all can write down the desires we have. How much time do you think will it take to accomplish these desires, to fulfill them? Is there anyone here who feels that in one day I can accomplish all my desires? Or in one year? No. Our aspirations are such that probably this entire life is not enough to achieve them. And there is a lot of hard work that goes into achieving the material desires, material pleasures. They don't come very easily. Life is not a bed of roses. One has to work very, very hard to achieve material desires. You can see the world outside, people work in companies, these days people work like practically 10 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours sometimes. Like I was speaking in Hyderabad in a company where people are working in the computer, you know, continuously morning to night. They return home by 10 o'clock or something like that. So they were telling me, I was speaking in the lecture that the radiation that comes from the monitor, you know, it enters into eyes and causes headache. My brother-in-law wrote to me. I said, you know, and then one man had a question at the end of the lecture. So, sir, what is your suggestion? You know, how can we get rid of it? It's a computer company, what can I tell them? I told him, maybe you work for 5 to 6 years and then try to set up your own business in future, I told him. Sir, you don't have to work, you employ another person. Or you take up some other business, I told him. The point is, the modern times, the situation is such that people are made to work very hard in order to achieve their desires fulfilled. And in the course of working hard, they come across people of higher status and they compare themselves with them. And in order to achieve that status, they work very hard. Now, like I met a gentleman who said, he has a very posh car, very costly car, some 20 lakhs car, 20 lakhs worth. But he said his boss is exploiting him like anything. He said, in his company, the MDs keep changing every 2 years. So they never think of the future prospects of the employees of the company. What will happen to them in the long run? Nobody sees. The MD comes, he gets some 40, 50 lakhs per annum, you know. So he doesn't bother about the employees at all. He just has to drive them to work, motivate them somehow, get the work done in 2 years, and then he moves to another company. He goes up like that. So he said, we have become scapegoats in between. We are just thoroughly exploited. This is modern scenario I'm telling. I'm not telling any stories here. Everyone can understand the situation in the modern times. So, one man is made to work very hard in order to fulfill his desires. But even if he gets those material pleasures in life, you all understand what meaning of material pleasure? Material pleasure means sense gratification, that those things which satisfy our body and senses. Like, you know, one may want a bungalow, one may want a car, one may want to accumulate a lot of wealth, economic development, one may want to earn more and more and more and become a millionaire, trillionaire, billionaire, whatever, like that. So, these are called as material pleasures because we want these facilities for our own enjoyment in general, in this world. So, even if we achieve them, how much can we enjoy in this world? Prabhupada used to challenge when he went abroad. Even if you live in a skyscraper building, how many chapatis are you going to eat every day? Can you eat more than 5 chapatis? Can you eat? Now, somebody, a businessman, looks at his lecture. This year I have earned some 10 lakhs. Now he is eating 10 chapatis this year, per day. Next year I am earning 20 lakhs. He is going to eat some 20 chapatis every day? Or 50 lakhs and 50 chapatis every day? No. Whatever you eat is the same quantity. How much can you enjoy? Now you have a house with 3 or 4 rooms. Say later on you become very wealthy man. Like you know, some wealthy people have got 50, 60 rooms in their house. There are millionaires who have big houses. They have so many rooms. Just because you have 100 rooms in your house, can you live in all 100 rooms? Sometimes, I'm not exaggerating, in a huge bungalow, a huge garden, you know, in our cantonment, right opposite to a temple there is a lane leading inwards. Going into that lane, there used to be that famous army general. What was his name? Who was shot? Vaidheva shot. He used to live there before. Now next to him, one army general N.C. Vij is living now. N.C. Vij. So I had gone to him to invite him for the mass. So we went to the house. We saw that there are two roads. In between the two roads, his house is there. So big is the house. Practically there must be, 50-60 rooms in the house. And a huge complex, and they have garden and a big compound encompassing both the streets, If you go that side, you can see the back side of the house, this side, front side of the house, like that. So now we went to his house, practically only three people are living there. He and his wife and his old mother or somebody like that. So even if we get these material pressures fulfilled, even if we have them after working so hard, how much can we enjoy? What's our capacity? You see, in Pune there are so many hotels, isn't it? Star hotels. If somebody arranges to bring all the foods from all the hotels, can you eat all of them? Do we have the ability? We can't. Although the menu may be so many varieties may be there. But how long can we enjoy? The more we grow old, our senses and all become weaker. We can't enjoy much as we grow old like that. So the material pressures put a limit in our enjoyment, exactly like a cow that is tied to a pole. It's like if this is a pole and you tie a cow. He has a limit circle, the radius within which he can graze and eat the grass. Once the grass gets over, what can he do? Can he do anything? No. He needs the help of the farmer to let him loose. Otherwise, he just can't do anything. Similarly, material pressure is very limited. We do not realize that. It's very limited. For a period of time, one realizes that I have money, I have all material facilities, but I cannot enjoy. Prabhupada says, in Paris, he was watching from the top of the building. He saw some old men were entering into restaurants and bars, clubs they were entering. Well, there were some naked dances going on. They went to see that. So they would go with a lot of money stuffed in their pockets. And they go and look at the prostitutes and they give them money, but they can't enjoy them. They are like 80, 90 year old men, 80, 90 years old. So they have money, but they can't enjoy. There is no power in the body to enjoy. Some men even try to get some sex glands from India for monkeys. They import purposes in order to find out whether they can, just like they do heart transplantation, similarly glands transplantation, they can do and they can continue to enjoy. So we can see how much this enjoying, the craving mentality is there, but we can't, or sometimes these things are taken off. So the sense perception, what we experience, agama apayano anityaha, they go away, Krishna says. They are temporary. You can't enjoy for a very long time. That is why the material pressures, even if one achieves in life, they go away. They don't give us lasting satisfaction. We cannot feel the inner satisfaction in the heart. One day night in the temple, I was locking my office and going back. All of a sudden, a CLO car came to the doorstep and it stopped there. And out came a boy running. He came running to me and breathing heavily. He came and said, Sasa, can you give me a few minutes? And I just sat with him. So he's telling that, I want to marry a girl, He was telling me. Then I said, did you tell your parents? No, they are not permitting. I said, then what about her? No, she has seen another boy with whom she is going to get fixed tomorrow. That means she doesn't love you. Then why do you worry about it? No, I still do not know that. But I still want to marry her. This is the condition of modern youth today, if you see. So this boy told me, see, I have a car of my own, my parents have given me. I have a bungalow. And I have enough money that I need. I can drink enough wine. I can smoke cigarettes. And I can go anywhere I want. My parents have given me freedom. But can you give me a peace of mind? He asked me. So please tell me some technique by which I can get a drop of peace of mind. So the peace of mind is greatly lacking in the modern society today. Man has everything, whatever he wants, all the facilities that we want to acquire in life, man somehow achieves it. But the inner peace is greatly lacking. Just like we gave the example of fish out of water. Anybody knows this example? Fish out of water? I told this? What did I say about it?
Fish, the tendency of fish is to live in the water. If you take out of the water, she cannot enjoy it. If she is in the water only, she can enjoy the water itself.
Yeah.
Like human beings are meant to enjoy in the spiritual world, not in the material world.
Ah,
if we live in the spiritual world, then only we can enjoy.
We can truly enjoy. Otherwise, if you take a fish out of water and give him any facility, you have car, bungalow, and dollar notes, and magazines to read, you give him everything, he cannot be happy. See, in the modern times, man is surrounded by all these things. People think, if I have 100 channels just turned on the TV, some variety, I can see. See, mind always wants variety, isn't it? You see, the things of this world become stale very soon, very, very quickly. Somebody comes and gives you a nicely covered packet on your birthday. Your hands immediately grab that gift. You want to see what is there inside, isn't it? How much eagerness we have. But once you open it and see what happiness you feel, once you see that, okay, somebody has given you a clock, a big clock, a quartz clock or something. You see it up and down and you keep it, and then you probably will never touch it again. Isn't it? Because that eagerness goes away in everything in this world. Similarly, you want to go to a new place for picnic. How many of you, when you are going to go to a new place for picnic, will not be feeling the thrill before going for the picnic? Everyone feels the thrill. How the place is going to be. New place of stay, new sights to see, so many things. But then you go there, you spend a day or two or three, and then you are looking, when am I going to return back? When are you going back? So you want to come back immediately. So the things become stale. Everything. Similar relationships also. Sometimes we imagine a lot. Don't take this example personally, but I'm generally telling about the nature of material world. Before marriage, things appear very rosy. One paints a rosy picture in the mind. One thinks that, nightingales are singing and flowers are falling from the heavens, and things are like this. That's so many things people imagine. Something is going to happen which has never happened in my life, That one day people consider it to be an outstanding day. And then when the marriage happens after that, when the marriage is done, then after some time you find the sharp ends are upgrading, some sparks come. It's not exaggeration in everyone's life. It's a very common experience. You can see that. Then one comes in phase with the reality. How many of you have studied something on transactional analysis? Transactional analysis. That teaches actually about relationships in family, how to learn to develop proper relationships. So, everyone knows, it's an open fact in the world, that there are problems in relationships. A man or woman may think the opposite person is so beautiful and very wonderful, but the external beauty may not reflect in the sweetness of the relationship. When one comes closer, one comes to know all the defects and the other person. And then one has to learn to live with the other person's psychological traits like that. So this is the material pressure. When you come in grip with the material nature, you understand that practically you are controlled and there is no happiness. Practically, things take you for a ride, and then one is plunged into suffering instead of happiness. What began as happiness ends as suffering. That is why the scriptures compare these kind of happinesses to an itching sensation. If you get an itching sensation, anybody has got a boil ever? You have experience of a boil? If you have a boil in hand, around that boil there will be an itching sensation. So you feel like itching, but you go near the boil and itch, it feels very nice in the beginning. But then later on what happens? When you itch more, it starts bleeding. It starts bleeding, but you still want to itch, it's raining, it's bleeding, it's like that. So material pressures, it is said, the more one tries to enjoy, the happiness turns into very harsh suffering in this world. That's how these things are designed in this world. You just can't escape it. The way the world is designed very intelligently by God, that when one tries to enjoy separate from God, one has to suffer inevitably. So I was telling you about sense gratification at the beginning. How one experiences sense gratification? Prabhupada explains in two, three different ways. One is over-accumulation. When one accumulates more than what is actually needed, like sometimes parents give children 100 shoes, 100 types of shoes, 100 types of clothes to wear. And sometimes, when you have to go for a party, you get so confused, you don't know which dress to wear. Sometimes you take this dress, that dress, you wear it, and you remove it and put it back. It's not good. The shirt is good, the pant is not nice. Sometimes when you have too much variety, you don't know what to choose. You get more confused. Sometimes we accumulate more than what we need. Actually, when you add salt to food, the food is very tasty. But if you add salt more, what happens? It is very salty, you just can't eat it. Similarly, when salt is less, again, there's a deficiency of salt, you can't be happy. Similarly, everyone is allotted his quota, and if you accept that quota from God, and one lives in God consciousness, and by using the things given by God in God's service, then one can be happy. And also, Prabhupada says, sense gratification also implies breaking the laws of God. God has laid many laws in this world, and we all know it. And actually, intuitively also we know many times, isn't it? You all have experience of your own that there is something called a conscience within us that stops you from going in the wrong direction, isn't it? When you have to do something wrong, when conscience doesn't permit you, it tells you, no, don't do it. But besides the conscience, if one wants to make things sure, there are shastras available, like Bhagavad Gita, which tell us what is right and what is wrong. By reading them, one comes to know these activities are actually detrimental to my progress. Like meat eating, for example, is merciless. Merciless killing, slaughtering of animals. So when Prabhupada went to America, he used to tell about killing of animals. So Christians would tell him, why not we kill the animals? Animals have no soul, they used to say. Prabhupada would ask them, see, you are eating, animals are also eating. And you are sleeping, animals are sleeping. And you are reproducing and caring for your children. Animals also do the same thing. And you are defending with scuds and missiles. And animals are defending with claws and teeth. And what's the difference? If in your body there is a soul, in animal body also there must be a soul. So we cannot kill animals, it's merciless. Killing, it leads to mercilessness. Similarly, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, all these things lead one to ruin. You can see that. They gradually bring us to more and more suffering in life in the long run. Actually, somebody may say, why not be moderate in doing these things? But one cannot be moderate. As you said, why not itch moderately? Can you itch moderately? Little bit you moderately itch, after some time you are inspired to itch more. Then little more. I have seen an army, and many people in army, working in army, they break all the regulatory principles, practically. And they get many diseases and many problems. It may lead even one to death, ultimately. So, you see, they begin just with some drinks, gradually go deeper and deeper. At one point of time, it's like a chain reaction. It just gradually one goes deeper and deeper, and one just cannot come out of it afterwards. All these things become like chronic habits. Chronic habits, like we say, chain smoker, we say. These are chronic habits like that. So, material pleasures of this nature also, it's like a soft sand, you know, soft sand. You put your leg in soft sand, gradually, you start sinking inside, deeper and deeper like that. So, breaking the laws of God leads to suffering. And lastly, forgetfulness of God. Forgetting God and running here and there for enjoyment. That will never lead one to happiness at all. Just like the kasturi deer, Kasturi deer keeps on running from place to place, searching for the kasturi. He doesn't know actually kasturi is in his own body. Similarly, the real happiness is within our heart by striking a relation with God. The soul is here. He is Sachidananda. He is eternity, knowledge and bliss. And he can experience happiness provided he can revive his true nature. So that's what we are talking about when you come to the classes here. So how to avoid suffering altogether from our life? By understanding that we are part and parcel of God. So we have to be clear what life is all about. Like one time, some mason was doing some construction work. He was putting one brick over another and putting some cement. Somebody came and asked him, what are you doing? So he said, I don't know. Somebody told me to do this, I'm doing this. So then they removed that mason and employed another mason. And they asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm making a wall, he said. And he didn't know beyond what a wall is. And then the third mason was working, when he was asked, what are you doing? So he said, I'm constructing a temple for God. And now, just now we have begun the work, just now we are making the wall now. So that person will get the maximum benefit because he knows the totality of the project. He knows the totality of the purpose of life. Similarly, if we want to make our life a grand success, we all have to do work. You can't escape work. But while doing work, you have to know how to connect that work to God. Like I was telling the example of Anand bringing us, he is using the car for a devotional purpose like that. Now we are using the mind for a devotional purpose. He is using the house for a devotional purpose by, you know, bringing relatives, friends, everyone and making them feel God conscious knowledge. Similarly, the cooking, Mataji is cooking and offering bhoga to the Lord and offering prasad to everyone. So in this way, we can engage the same senses which are otherwise used in sinful activities. We can use the same senses. For what purpose? For serving God, for serving Krishna. This is called as Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. This is the definition of bhakti. Use your senses for the pleasure of God. Then all the sufferings will go away from your life and you can achieve everlasting happiness. This is actually the purport of all the scriptures. They say that dovetail all your activities in God's service, then you can achieve happiness. Now, when we talk of progress in life, what is real progress? Somebody can define, what do you think is progress in life? What is progress? Once in a class I asked people, what is the goal of your life? Like some boy said, the goal of my life is to go to America, somebody said. And somebody else said, the goal of my life is to have a, you know, Mercedes-Benz at last. I am going to earn and save money and buy a Mercedes-Benz. And somebody said, I want to get married to a beautiful girl. So everyone had a different goal like that. But if you see these goals and if you are working towards that progress, even if you achieve them, first of all, achieving them might be difficult. But even if you achieve them, they all are taken away at the time of death. So a thoughtful person should think in long term instead of thinking in short term. You have to think what's going to happen in long term. Like, you know, all of you, I'm sure, you must be planning for your retirement, after retirement plan, isn't it? Don't you make a plan? Like, after 6 years, what will happen? Like, if I don't have a job, if I'm older and I'll not be able to do a business, I have to make some savings in the bank. So now if you are 25, 30, then why do you think about after 60? That is actually intelligence. Because you know that after 60 I'll be probably invalid. I can't do much activity. Better let me save now. Just like the ants, you know, in the summer season they go here and there and accumulate many things. In rainy season, they don't have to go out anywhere. You can just... In the rainy season, they can remain within the house safely. So a wise man should work for the future. In the same way, we have understood from the previous discussions that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul, Atma. And we are, at the time of death, we are leaving everything aside. And we are going to the next body. And we will not carry anything with us. So what should I do to make my life perfect? So when we talk of progress, often in the modern times people think of material progress. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada went to America. He was never inspired by the great material progress of Americans. Prabhupada could clearly see that no matter how much you, like there in America he saw, people used to make big skyscraper buildings. After that they would demolish it and make a new one in the same place. Or sometimes they would make, construct huge aeroplanes or cars and they would crores of dollars they would spend in breaking those and making new models like that. So Prabhupada said, making cars or bungalows or aeroplanes and deploying them to make a new model, this is not progress. Is this progress? You would say the dogs are running on two and running on four legs and you are running on four wheels, you would say, here and there. You know, various sense gratification, running here and there. So if you carefully observe a human and animal, there are many similarities. See, an animal, for example, is eating. Animal is eating. Animal may be eating in the street. But if you see human beings, like we have big silver, stainless steel factories where we make big burdens, vessels. And then we have kitchenettes. And we have mixie, we have grinder. We have so many modern appliances. And we have so many types of packed foods, packaged foods. And fast foods and all these things. Ultimately, if you see, the technology and sophistication may be very high, but the activity of eating is the same principle, isn't it? Is there any difference? It's the same thing. A dog or cat cannot have a food packaging industry, you know, but we can have it. That's the only thing we can do. Otherwise, the eating habit is the same thing, you see. Like, you know, when you put a halwa in the tongue, it's very delicious for you. And when a pig puts stool in the mouth, he also gets the same taste. The quantum of pleasure is the same. There is no difference between the two. Similarly, if you see human beings sleep in, you know, water beds or general pillow beds, you may think it's very nice cushion. But even a dog is sleeping in the straw or, you know, sometimes in the fields, very comfortably he's sleeping. Once the dog closes the eyes, you know, sleeping in the platform or in the fields, and we also close the eyes, do we know what's happening? In the night, we don't even know that this house belongs to me, the car belongs to me, and I am so and so, I am Mr. So and so. We don't even know that. Once you close your eyes, the pleasure you get from sleep and the dog gets was the same. You can see like that. Similarly, producing children, it's not a very great prerogative of a human being to produce children. In fact, mosquitoes are better people in producing children. Mosquitoes multiply in millions, if you see. They produce millions. Is that a dog can produce 3 dozen children in a year or so? In a year or two, it can produce 3 dozen children. Whereas a human being can produce only one in a year. So, if you see this eating, sleeping, reproducing and defending, everyone is defending in this world. Like we have a big wall in our house, and we have the broken glass pieces on the top, or we have a huge gate, or we have a bank which protects our money, or we have a watchman, or we have a watchdog, we have a burglar alarm, all these things. These are all different exhibitions of our desire to protect ourselves. Defense. The same way you will see dog also is showing the teeth, you know, claws and teeth and defending. Like, you know, we throw, like Iran and Iraq when they are fighting, you know, throwing scuds and missiles. Isn't it? Similarly, dogs are also fighting, you know, with one another like that, you can see. So these four activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, if you take only these four activities, humans are not much different from animals. It's the same thing, exactly the same activities. But we are superior to animals only in one thing. Animals, they use the senses for enjoyment. And human beings can use the same senses for controlling the senses and directing them in God's service. So human being can perform austerity. This was spoken by Rishabhadev to his 100 children. He had 100 sons. Rishabhadev told them, my dear children, the human form is not meant for working hard like donkeys. Don't work hard for better prospects. See the donkey, in front of the donkey they put the washerman puts a carrot, you have seen sometimes? He dangles the carrot with a stick like this. The donkey thinks, if I go 1 feet ahead, I'll get the carrot. When he moves 1 feet ahead, exactly the carrot moves 1 feet also, you know. And it keeps going, 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 going like that ahead, till it goes to the riverside. There he removes the carrot and keeps it far away, so that he can use it for bringing him back like that. So I saw a very interesting cartoon recently. This cartoon showed like this, that the boss is sitting here, and the employee is sitting on the opposite side. And the boss is telling him, I have a very nice, I have got more new projects for you, he's telling. Immediately both the people are thinking. Here the boss is thinking, some thought process is going on, and that man is thinking, both they have put. So in the boss's mind, what is going on? They have showed the carrot and the donkey. And in the course of earning, people completely forget the purpose for which they earn the money. Why did you earn the money? For happiness. But are you happy? Are you enjoying? No. There is no time for enjoyment. People just work hard like that. So, progress is not building big skyscraper buildings. If you see the modern scenario in which we are living, it's a very, very horrible situation. Everyone wants to come to Bombay, to a place like Bombay, for example. Densely populated. Huge buildings, it's a concrete jungle. You can call it a concrete jungle. You can hardly see trees anywhere. A time might come and parents may have to show their children how a tree looks like. They may have to show his picture. This is how a tree looks like. If you ask your child, where is the milk coming from? You'll say, from the dairy, or, you know, the milk packet comes every morning. That's what the children know. Hardly children get to see the cows, if you see. This is the way the modern life is going. If you want to breathe the air, there is so much pollution. If you want to drink water, it's all mixed with the effluents coming out of the factories like that. If you want to drink water, you have to buy, you have to purchase water, you have to purchase air, you have to purchase everything, practically nowadays. In the ancient times, food was never sold. There was no question of selling food. Now it's very common. Hotels are very common now. Everything you have to pay money. So we are thinking man is progressing, but Prabhupada asked a challenging question. What kind of progress have you made by advancing in the field of science and technology? What progress has man made? Although man is wearing pants, shirt, coat, suit, tie and everything, he looks very civilized, as we often call it. But his mentality has not changed. His mentality is the same animalistic mentality. How to pull the another person's leg? Like in Singapore, there is a computer firm. The top they work, stick and span, very clean. You walk into the company, you may even wonder whether I should walk with the shoes inside. It is so clean. It's in the first floor. The same people, they come down on the ground floor, evening when they return back to the homes, you know, they go to the shop and they drink different color juices, which look like juices. They are all actually different bloods of different animals. They drink blood actually. Right down. This was witnessed by one of our devotees, he told us. The top computer company, the same people who are so clean in their office, they come down and drink different bloods of different animals, like just like juices, drink like juices. So what civilization is that? See, civilization means, Krishna says in 16th chapter, Nashocham napi chacharo nasatyam teshu vidyate. Cleanliness is next to godliness, we say. These people appear clean, but you go to the laboratory and see, in Pune there is a company, ICIL. One of our boys told me, if you go into the latrine, there is no water supply there. They have only got tissue paper there. So when somebody passes through, they wipe it with tissue paper. That's all. They don't even wash the hands. So they appear to be externally clean, but if you carefully observe, there is no cleanliness in the modern times. Nashavacham, napi chacharo, there is no achar. Achar means proper behavior between man and woman. The Vedic life, there are ways how a husband and wife should behave with one another, and how a woman should behave towards other men, or how other men should behave with married women. That's proper behavior. We should treat them like a mother. Once a woman wears this kumkum, the sindur on her head, then anybody who looks at her at once will get respect. Their hands will immediately fold with great respect. But in modern times, people don't see them like mother. Their relationships are very horrible. We cannot even talk about it. So we can see that man is thinking he is progressing, but he is actually digressing, becoming animalistic. And in fact, one man asked me, one boy asked me, what's wrong? If a woman wants to be with me and I want to be with her, what's wrong? Then I said, then you are no better than a dog in the street. Because according to Vedic life, if somebody likes a girl, then they are supposed to go to the girl's father and approach her. And the father, if he agrees to give her in marriage, then one should marry like that. Not that any man and any woman like one mother in America came to Prabhupada and she was shouting at Prabhupada, why are you forcing my son to marry this girl, without having tested her? Let them live together for 6 months and see whether they can marry or not. She was telling, this is very common in America. Now people live together 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, and then if they want, they'll marry, otherwise they won't marry. Like this. So this kind of American civilization is coming to India, if you see today, and man is going down, gliding down to animalistic platform. We are not progressing. Then you may ask me, what is real progress? That also Prabhupada showed. What is real progress? Real progress means a man becomes awakened to knowledge. What is right and what is wrong? Like in American universities, we see students study, even after acquiring a doctorate degree, still they go to the nightclubs, they go to restaurants, they go to bars, they have uncontrolled senses. They indulge in all kinds of malpractices, even crime, like that, even after big education. But Prabhupada would say, in Vedic education, if you see, after a person hears Krishna conscious knowledge, within a very short time there will be transformation. Just see how quickly people change. You all can see in your own lives how your heart becomes littered up with the torchlight of knowledge. And whatever activities have been, bad activities have been indulging in, God gives us knowledge from within, that these are not right things to do. I should not do them. And one becomes very civilized, one becomes very cultured within a very, very short time. I have seen people breaking all principles, leading very simple lives. And within just a few months, they were completely transformed, new people. This is progress. Real progress means elevating a person from a downtrodden condition to a condition where he becomes happy and he makes others happy. Just imagine if this room is pitch dark now. If somebody enters this room, naturally that person will put his leg on your head or your leg and cause harm to you. But as soon as you lit up light all over, I mean, clearly say, people are sitting there and you will walk in a proper way by which you will not cause any damage to anybody. Similarly, in society, when the society remains in darkness, simply chasing after the mirage of material pleasures, then everyone is in darkness. So naturally, every person in society is causing harm to every other person in society. You can see, just go to your office, you go outside world and see, everyone is in a mood of exploitation. How to exploit? How to exploit the neighbor? How to, like, you know, employee is thinking, how to give my, the employer is thinking, how to give my employee 5,000 rupees per month and extract some 10-20,000 rupees worth job from him. And the employee is thinking, how to earn 5,000 per month and not do much job. Just, you know, little bit of work, especially when boss is away, they will have a great time, simply drinking tea and not doing anything, like that. This mood of exploitation is very prevalent everywhere, like that. Whereas, the life of a devotee, we can easily see in the life of a devotee, how a devotee is genuine, honest, humble. He is always in a mood of serving the other person. A devotee never wants to exploit. So this is real progress. Real progress lifts up your heart with wisdom, and you can be happy, and you can make many others happy. You can easily see, I was talking to some of the devotees, you can see a great change in your partner, life partner. When they become devotees, everyone admitted, when I asked them, do you really agree that there is a change? They said, yes, there is a drastic change, I cannot believe such a change. Because Krishna consciousness is a practical, scientific process. If we take it seriously, we chant the holy names, we offer the bhoga and accept prasadam, lead a clean life, you will see that it starts working in a very, very short time. And we can experience the real joy which can never be taken away. And that's what Krishna says in the next verse he's saying, which we read today. That yamhina jatayantyeti purusham purushasya samadukka sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate. If one accepts the spiritual life and is ready to tolerate some difficulties that one may have to take up while accepting spiritual life, then by that tolerance what happens, one makes great advancement in spiritual life. Now somebody can tell me, what are the things you have to tolerate in spiritual life? Anybody can say? Is there anything you feel troublesome in spiritual life that you have to tolerate? Yeah? Correct. That's a good point. People start ridiculing, mocking at you. They think you are abnormal. Why don't you be normal like us? You know, just like it is said in a forest once, a monkey was jumping, you know. His tail got stuck in a wedge in a tree. Actually, the carpenter was cutting a tree into two, but he was very hungry. So he went to eat. But then he kept a saw in between so that the wedge will not get closed, you know. But his monkey was running here and there, he saw this saw. He went, what is this saw? He was trying to pull it out. Monkey means, that's why we say monkeying, you say, no? Monkey doesn't keep quiet, he tries to keep doing something. He removed the saw, immediately his tail got stuck. And he became afraid, oh, somebody has put a trap to catch me. He started pulling himself very much, forcibly. And he couldn't come out. At last, then he gave a big push, a big pull. Then he came out, but his tail remained there. And he became a monkey without a tail. So he was wondering, my Lord, all my friends will ridicule me, what to do? So he called all the monkeys and told, the latest fashion is to have no tail. That's like, you know, in our days, we used to have bell-bottom, you know, bell-bottom. Any of you wear bell-bottom nowadays? People will laugh at you if you wear it. But in our days, you know, people would wear bell-bottom in almost, double the length of your leg, you know, length of your foot. People would wear like that. It was very famous at one time. Later on, pant became famous after that. So, similarly, the monkey said, this is the latest fashion. And all monkeys came one by one and he took a scissor and he was cutting that time. One by one. Practically 50, 100, 200 monkeys he was cutting. One intelligent monkey came. He jumped up and told the other monkeys, "Hey monkeys, don't be fooled by this monkey. Because he doesn't have a tail, he also doesn't want us to have a tail. In fact, tail is the beauty of monkeys." He said, "Better, you know, don't go to him." And then all the monkeys ran away after that. Similarly, if you see, misery loves company, it is said. That is a proverb. So whenever a person indulges in sinful activity, he cannot do it alone. He always wants support. Have you ever seen anybody drinking alone? Very rare actually. Generally people seek company when they do that. So all these things, when we do, one seeks company of other people, or one tries to give justification, you know, and one does it, it is all right. Or some people say, everyone is doing it, you know. We are not the only one. Whole world is doing it. Why do you want to be different? Without justification that one tries to give, to convince oneself, it's like justifying the heart that what I'm doing is all right. It's not after all very bad. It's like, you know, you try to purposefully close your eyes. If a cat closes the eyes, you know, and says there is no, I mean, this ostrich, you know, ostrich. Sometimes the ostrich runs when a tiger chases him. But the ostrich puts his, you know, head into a hole and says, now the tiger is gone, you know. The tiger comes running, chasing after him and catches him and eats him up. Similarly, we may think we have escaped and we can do, there is no problem, but the consequences will come. So devotee may be, you know, living a different life from others, a pure life, which is actually the normal life of the soul. The soul is supposed to lead a pure life. But because the whole world is like a fool's paradise, in a fool's paradise, an intelligent man will be called as a fool, isn't it? All the fools will call the intelligent man as a fool. So what should the intelligent man do? Should he also become one of the fools? Like if you had a mental asylum, everyone calls you a fool, what will you do? You also join the mental asylum? No? Mental asylum means it's a place where all mental patients come. It's a place for fools. And if you are a wise man, you are going to help someone, then we don't have to become fools like them. And even if somebody will say, "I am Prime Minister of India, I salute you," you know. They are doing crazy things there. And you don't get carried away by them. So when people ridicule us, that's why we have to read philosophy nicely. If you come to classes regularly and hear philosophy, and you understand, Krishna says here, Tam Stitikshaso Bharata. When you perform your prescribed duties, a lot of problems will come. Like Mataji said, how people ridicule, this is one of the problems you may face. But one knows with conviction, I have got a past life memory, people are remembering, people are reborn again and again. And this body, what is this body? This body is perishable. You know, Kulushekara, the great king and poet, he sings a very nice song. He says, Idam shariram parinama peshalam patati avasyam shatasandhi jarjaram kim maushadim pichati moda durmate niramayam krishna rasayanam tiba. He is telling, Idam shariram, this body, parinama peshalam, it always is transforming and gradually dwindling and decaying. The beautiful face we have, over a period of time, all the wrinkles come on the face, the hair starts turning white. One white hair you see on your head, you know, you want to remove it. My God, nobody should see it. You remove it. But then more hair start coming after some time. And the wrinkles start coming. Nobody likes these things. Nobody wants to grow old. Parinama peshalam, body keeps transforming, although we don't want it. Patati avashyam. See how confidently he is telling. Very simple meaning. Patati means fall down. Please remember, this body is surely going to fall down one day. What is the meaning of falling down? Death. Death will come. Patati avashyam. Not only that, shatasanti jarjara, he is saying. All the joints of this body will get pain when you get old. You will have rheumatic pain, arthritis and all. If you sit, you cannot stand. If you stand, you cannot sit in one place. You need help of somebody, you know, catching a stick and everything. It becomes very, very invalid when you grow old. You can see people who are old. People who are growing older and older, 80, 90. Will this happen to us or not happen to us? It will happen to everyone. You can't deny this. That's why he's telling, Kim maushadim, pichaji mooda durmate. He's actually scolding. He's telling, mooda durmate. He's saying, oh fool, Why are you asking for this medicine and that medicine? Huh? People think if I eat kayakalpa, I can remain young, you know. You eat this medicine, or eat this medicine, you will get potency, you will get power. Huh? People talk so many things. He said, Kim Vashadam Spichas Mooda Durmate, he is saying, Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piva. Drink this nectar of Krishna Naam, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. No? Niramayam, it's prophylactic medicine, he is saying. Anybody knows what is prophylactic? You heard antiseptic? See, antiseptic means if you get a cut in the hand, you put a medicine, gradually the cut will heal. Huh? But prophylactic is one step ahead. Prophylactic means if you get a disease, you drink like, you know, we have this waterberry compound for children, you know. If you drink that medicine, it cures the disease and ensures that the disease will never come again. That is the meaning of prophylactic. So he is saying Niramayam. Krishna Naam is like that. What is the assurance Krishna Naam gives you? If you chant Krishna's names every day, then your sufferings of old age, disease, death, all these things will end. And you will finish your term in this world and go back to the feet of God. And the spiritual world, as we said earlier, there is no old age, there is no suffering, there is no disease. One is eternally in full devotion and love serving God. So that is actually the ultimate destination of the soul. Just like a bird wandering in the sky here and there, very tired. At last when he finds his nest, then he can rest in peace. Similarly, the soul also is wandering in so many bodies. He will find only rest when he achieves the feet of God. So, we have to be convinced about this. In fact, it's a question of whether you will influence them by your Krishna consciousness or they will influence you with their maya. So it's a question of degree. You know? So when you elevate yourself more and more, then you will be able to influence them. They will see your light, so they will see you and they will want to attend. You can give them prasadam, you can give them books to read, you can call them to the assembly of devotees. And we have to increase our own understanding and conviction. What other problem we have solved it? Anybody else? Of course, I don't know how many of you get up early in the morning. If you chant 16 rounds, how many get up early in the morning? You get up early? What time you get up in the morning?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. It's very cold in the morning? Yes. So you tolerate the cold. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Da, he's saying. You know? Sometimes, you know, Shita, Ushna. You tolerate this, you know, Shita and Ushna. Sukha, Dukkha, Da, he's saying. Happiness and distress, honor and dishonor. Like Mataji was telling about dishonor. Somebody does dishonor to us. We are tolerated. Sometimes the Shita Ushna also we are tolerated. Morning is very cold, but still we, you know that I have to wake up and chant God's name in the morning. I will do it anyway. So one has tolerated. And you have to give some time for God. People say we have no time. So although one is very busy, one takes out some time for God. Like you all have taken out your valuable time and come for the meeting here today. So we have to take out some time, take out some of our energy and use it in God's service. Because human energy should not be spoiled in, you know, like Prabhupada said, building skyscraper buildings, building aeroplanes and crushing them, making a concrete jungle and making a mess in the city. The whole world is becoming a big mess. So human life is not meant for that. Human energy should be utilized for self-realization, which will bring forth genuine happiness to us, ultimate happiness. We see so many Americans coming to India, going to the holy place in India and trying to find out the truth from the scriptures. And we are going to America and they are coming to India. Because they have already, you know, thoroughly understood that, you know, thoroughly frustrated. They have eaten sleeping pills, they have eaten fast food, and they have been fighting the traffic, they have been working hard all life. Now they are coming to India to learn what is real life. How can one be genuinely happy? They are coming to learn and we are running there. But if you are not running there, you are at least adopting their mood. Some Indians, they are adopting at least the Western mood in the way of living, if you see like that. So, the real spiritual culture, in order to adopt it in our life, there may be some austerities that we may have to do. Some penances and austerities. And one should happily accept that. And then devotee tolerates these things, and Krishna says, and the next verse, Somrita Swaya Kalpati, they will achieve the Amrita. Mrityorma amritam gamaya asatoma sadgamaya tamasoma jyotir gamaya. So mrityorma amritam gamaya. Instead of dying again and again, there are millions of times we can go above this material world, back home, back to Godhead, where there is no death. That's what is Krishna saying in this verse. So I'll stop here. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, you were here. I didn't see you, Siddharth.
I just came 3 minutes.
Okay.
Who is the, after knowing that we are the soul and we are not this body?
Huh?
After knowing we are the soul, we are not this body. After knowing that Krishna is the only ever
hope.
Why does still one does not get this desire to chant, or why does one not get the desire to follow the path of Krishna? So how to cultivate this desire?
Yeah. So the desire will increase by association. Just like they make a chamber of commerce where all commerce people come. When they come together, then naturally they discuss about money, more money, stock exchange. People talk about money together, isn't it? Like some Matajis come together and they make a team of Rangoli, Rangoli group they may form, or, you know, they discuss their issues like that. So everyone, by association, we develop in a particular field. Like you all are coming together for the class like this. And by chanting together, hearing together, we will gradually develop more and more taste. That taste will develop. Another thing is, we have to be patient also. When Krishna says here, Tam Stitikshatva, Bharata is saying, you have to tolerate. So one of the meanings of tolerating is to be patient. To be patient in spiritual life. Things won't happen immediately. Like, you know, you put a seed, then you have to water it, and then you have to put a fence, and gradually the plant will grow. And it will give fruit certainly, but it will take some time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Rupa Goswami that when the seed of devotion, bhakti, is sown in the heart of a devotee, what happens? Every day you are chanting Hare Krishna. Some people give it about some time. They say, you know, sorry sir, now I don't have time. No, you never give up. You continue regularly. Then you keep on watering, hearing and chanting. Then what happens? The plant grows up more and more. Then the goats will come and eat. Elephant may come and smash it. So you have to put a fence. So follow the regulative principles, read the Shastra, associate with devotees, then it will produce the fruit of love of God. So you have to be very patient. Things won't happen overnight. But if you are patient and you are practicing steadily, then the results will manifest. So one of the results that has already manifested is that a great change in our consciousness, the way we look at life now, isn't it? Things change actually. I was talking in the beginning today about sense gratification. So you always think how to not gratify my senses but gratify the Lord's senses. How to use everything in God's service. You're always in that mode. So that change of mode itself is a very great step. That first step itself. Hare Krishna. Can we chant one time? In 5 minutes? How many of you are coming for the first time to this program today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. So this program, we have been doing probably for about 5 sittings or so. We do it in 3 venues, one here and one in Deepak's place and one in Siddharth's place. And we do it in a frequency of once in a fortnight, we do. And we are planning to have 100 sittings like this. This is probably the 6th or 7th sitting, I think. So in 100 sittings, we are planning to cover the Bhagavad Gita. So those of you who are very inspired with the program, you are most welcome. I think it will take about 4 years, I think, if you are doing it fortnightly. So in 100 sittings you can learn the whole Bhagavad Gita like this. If you keep coming, then you will learn good amount of wisdom, how to live a pure Krishna conscious life. Yeah? What do they say? You are?
In
life?
Yeah.
What do they mean by prosperity in life?
Like, if you have an aim in life, definitely you work towards that.
Yeah.
If you are aimless now, like, you just
make more. No, we have a very great life, very great aim we have. Yeah. Like, for example, a person who is fighting for Indian Army, say Kargil War. No? So, he leaves home and he goes to Army, right? So, he has a higher aim than the, you know, instead of serving one small family, he is serving the country like that. Similarly, one who is serving God, that is one of the topmost aims you can say, that there is no greater aim than that, highest aim. But if the people of the world criticize you, that you are not having any ambitions in life, you know, you are all the time going after God. It's not wrong to have ambitions in life, but only we should not be over-ambitious. We condemn greed, but not ambition. Ambition is not wrong. You know, if a grihastha is desiring to have a house, it's not considered greed. If they want to have a business, if they want to have a house, if they want to have children, these things aren't considered greed. But you clearly know what is greed, isn't it? People are greedy in the world. People are not satisfied. You know, a person who is a lakhpati, you know, he wants to become crorepati. Crorepati wants to become karapati. Karapati wants to become arapati, like that, you know. But if we tell people that instead of becoming Lakshmipati, you know, karapati, karapati, like that, he becomes servant of Lakshmipati. You know. He has the Lakshmi with him. Lakshmi is always at his feet. So when you become connected to the Lord, then you possess everything. You become a child. So, certainly, worldly minded people will criticize us, like Mataji was telling. They will criticize us that, you know, why do you do all these things? In fact, they are fearful that if you go too much into God consciousness, then you may lose interest for worldly things like that. But there are many people who do the worldly responsibilities. Like Lord Krishna told Arjuna that you should do your duty. We do our duty, at the same time, not compromise on spiritual life. Do both the duties, like I was telling last week, last meeting, you know. Do your material duties and your spiritual duties, both. But they want you to be greedy. That lies the real problem. They want us to have over-ambition and go on working hard for going higher and higher in material circles. And that will, just like Alexander when he died, you know, he told his people that take my body to the graveyard with an empty hand like this, you know. He went with an empty hand. He didn't carry anything. He acquired so many lands, he acquired so much wealth. Where did he leave all those things? So this is our condition also, all of us. We will leave everything and go. But if you talk this, they will say you are talking big philosophy, they will say. So better not argue with them. But if they come to spiritual life, they will understand how spiritual life gives real happiness. Because material life inevitably leads to suffering and frustration. You can be happy for some time, and certainly it's possible. See, when situations are favorable, we are happy. But how long will the situation endure? Can anyone say that I'm going to be like this forever? Like sometimes we read in Cinderella story or Snow White and Red Rose, you know. And then the prince married the princess or whatever, and then they happily lived ever after, you know. Happily lived ever after. Does it ever happen in life? Like a hero and heroine in movies, they end the last scene showing that they both are enjoying happily, you know. But that is only for the movie, you know. But in practical life, do they remain like this forever? Don't they grow old? Don't they get diseases? Don't they die? Practically we can see. We don't remain youthful forever. We don't have the same vigor that we had in youth forever. So an intelligent human being should think these things, that life is changing. One is getting old and one will perish, one will get diseases, one will get problems. And even in material life also we suffer a lot. Like recently, I got a very interesting example. You know, a doctor was administering a particular medicine to a patient. This patient had a deadly disease in the body. So doctor told him, you have to eat a tablet which costs some 200 rupees per tablet. And you have to eat this tablet for 15 days, he told him. Every day you have to eat this tablet. How much it comes to?
3,000
rupees. And he also told him, but I am also giving you a painkiller. This painkiller is only 1 rupee. So you take this painkiller and eat this painkiller. So you won't feel the pain. But you take both the medicines, painkiller and the medicine for the disease. So this fellow ate the painkiller and the pain was gone. So he thought, why to spend 200 every day? Better take the painkiller only. So he went on taking the painkiller. But then the disease started getting worse. Then he went to the doctor after some time. Doctor, now painkiller also is not working now. Because, you know, 400 if you are taking, then you have to take 800 now. Like that. The doctor said, oh, what about the medicine? Oh, sorry doctor, I stopped it. No. I thought the painkiller will suffice. The doctor now diagnosed and told him, sorry, now you have to take another medicine which will cost you 500 rupees per tablet. And that you have to take for 1 month now. How much it comes to? 15,000. So, this fellow, he made his situation worse. Now, I was comparing this, I was thinking about this example. So, the medicine is like Mahamantra, Arakshana Mantra. And the painkiller is the adjustments we make in our life. We think, if this problem comes, I'll make this adjustment. That problem comes, I'll make this adjustment. So, when you make adjustments, suddenly you become happy. But for how many days you become happy? Only one day. That day you are happy, next day again pain. So again one more adjustment you do. But then by not taking to Mahamantra regularly, what happens? In the long run our material bhavarog, this is goes on increasing. So people want you to settle the immediate things only. They don't want you to work for the long term. But an intelligent person should work for the long term. Like, just imagine if this person paid 200 rupees every day tablet, 15 days, he'd be cured. And he will not even have to spend 1 rupee per day after that. Because pain comes only when there is no disease after that. So both the tablets can stop. But people are not ready for that. Krishna is telling that in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadravan Parichaya, surrender to me. Become a devotee, I will completely eradicate all your problems. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami. And then you can come back to me and you will never suffer, ever in future. So we are making a total solution, a complete, we are going to the root cause of the problem, uprooting the whole tree of karma bandhan, completely. All suffering will end. But this takes some intelligence to see. It cannot be understood immediately. It takes time to appreciate what you are getting. Remember, I was asking this question, if I give you a chocolate and then 100 rupees, what will you choose? How many of you will choose chocolate? I think some people rose their hand that time.
Yeah, chocolate, yeah.
Now nobody is raising hand. People are all become intelligent now. Yeah. So why did you choose 100 rupee note?
Give my 100
chocolate. 100 chocolate. So spiritual life is like 100 rupee note. Material life is like chocolate. You get immediate pleasure. Flickering, temporary pleasure. Or blissful, everlasting happiness in the long run we will get. For that you will take little trouble. That's what he's saying. Tams, the tikshas will take. You know, tolerate these difficulties that you have to undergo now. And as a result, the benefit is somrita tvaya kalpate. You will get eternal benefit. That's the beat. Mala, everyone has mala?
What about people who say, I'm already happy where I am? I don't know what answer. I don't need all these things.
Yeah. No, you just wait for some time. Because sukha and dukkha are like twins. Twins are born together, right? Similarly, happiness and distress are generally coming together. If they are not suffering, that suffering will come eventually. Because everyone feels different kind of suffering in life. For some people they have problem of mind. For some they have problem of body. So just like when a person walks, the shadow follows him. Similarly, the dukkha will eventually come in life for everyone. Like I was telling, old age brings forth many diseases. You get suffering. See, generally when suffering comes, you remember God. That is the time you remember God. Or some big defeat comes in life. Like, you know, many people become God conscious at the time when there is some kind of defeat. Because the situation really makes us take shelter of God very, I mean, fervently at that time. If somebody feels they are very happy, as well as complacence. Complacence is there in some people. Okay, even sometimes people who are happy also don't mind taking to chanting. They don't mind taking to chanting. They also can chant. But if they say, no, if I get suffering, I will chant. And God will arrange for that. The right time will come. Yeah. Then they will take chanting. But some people, they are happy. They come from good families. They come from millionaire families, like Ambarish Ford, you know. Ambarish.
Yeah.
Ambarish Das is actually Ford, you must have seen in the paper, you know. He gave 50 crores, just like a pocket money, you know, giving to the Mayapur project. A big temple is going to come in Mayapur. So he met Srila Prabhupada. You saw his article in Speaking Tree to have come. If you read in Speaking Tree, huh? Very nice article. He is speaking such great philosophy. He comes from a very, very wealthy family. He has no problems at all. How many Ford cars he can have if he wants, isn't it? You know? He has such money. So they say giving 50 crores for him is like giving a pocket money. It's not a big amount for him. So why should he become an initiated disciple of Prabhupada? Why should he take initiation of Prabhupada? He is clearly saying he can read the philosophy there. Because I understand, I can be happy, but how long? How much can I enjoy and how long can I enjoy is very important. So, intelligent person can see that my life is like a tiny flash in the time span of eternity. It's a tiny flash, 70, 80 years. And eventually it brings forth enormous suffering as we grow older and older. Things don't happen our way all the time. It may be happening for some time. So, a wise person, even while being happy, starts working, starts preparing himself, understanding that the body is not in my control. A time will come when body will start non-cooperation. Body will irreversibly start decaying. It will not cooperate with us. Lot of problems. And then the person, at that time, he prays, Kurushakra is praying, my dear Lord, in my old age, when my throat is choked with serum, you know, kaphavata pitta, you know, how will I be able to chant your name? So he is saying that, let me chant your name right now and return back to you. He is saying. So when you grow older and older, we will become unable. So, we should not force people who claim that they are happy. We should allow them sufficient time. When let them become inspired. You can give them prasad, something will attract them. You can give prasad, you can give them chanting, you can give them books. Somebody is philosophically oriented, they may appreciate that. But no one should be forced. We can only inspire them. By our own devotional service, can inspire them. But devotional service is wonderful. It can, if a person is happy, somebody said, Prabhupada, I'm very happy. And Prabhupada said, okay, chant direction, you become happier. And he said, no, I'm happier. Okay, chant direction, you become happiest. And in fact, you become more happiest, and most happiest. Because in the spiritual world, it doesn't stop with superlative. Ānanda ampati vardhanam pratipadam purnamritasa. It goes on increasing infinitely. So we chant for 5 minutes. So you also can learn from your neighbor how to chant. You have beats with you? Beats are less, is it? Is it? Just to less you brought, how many you brought?